once again, Linode has saw fit to sponsor this week's episodes of the news.
They called us and they were like, if that mouse pointer is on her one more week, we're done. Don't ever call us again.
So there's a link in the description below. Linode, if you're not in the know, is a virtual private server provider. But they do so much more than that. You can set up your own instances of OwnCloud, which is like a file hosting thing. You want to host your own files because maybe you don't want Google rifling through your files, especially in the current political climate we find ourselves in. That'd probably be a good thing. Your own book server, like your Bookwitty. Yeah, Krista knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we can see her in the bottom now. This is so much better.
Yeah.
And VPN.
You host your own VPN. Don't trust any company.
Useful now because, you know, your browsing history, for example.
That VPN would be really handy if you had a burner phone and you turned off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and you just, you know, had your own endpoint. You would know if somebody's looking through your stuff. It's really handy. So thanks, Linode, for sponsoring this episode of the news. There's an affiliate link below. You can use that and get, I think, a $20 credit. They also have Kubernetes, Google Compute Engine. Linode's really expanded their services the last couple of years. So if you tried them a year or two ago, they've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
Today is July 1st, and we're doing... What are we doing? Social media and something else.
It was 5 seconds, Krista.
It was.
You were staring off into space, ignoring us there. What was going through your mind?
I was thinking that I've already got an issue with the pumpkins.
Let's have a pumpkin
I went out and looked at them while I was waiting for my coffee to finish, and I have a female flower that's going off of the side of the patio, and like the vines are starting to overflow off the patio, and I'm like, how am I going to fix this?
That
sounds, I don't know the answer yet.
Another bucket?
It sounds like the start of a horror movie.
I think I'm gonna have to like just rearrange the entire like plant system I have so that I have enough space for the vines.
You're gonna be.
I didn't count on it going around the other way.
You're gonna be sitting there playing Minecraft, and then like, you're gonna catch a reflection of, you know, like something slowly coming up from behind your couch, and it's gonna be a jack-o'-lantern head.
Feed me, Krista.
Also, just the vines, you know, it would choke me because there's so many.
You're gonna be like, "Where's Rue?" And there's going to be, like, pumpkin seeds leading off into the basement.
And Rue's just eating the pumpkin, but there's too much of it.
Well, you know, maybe we'll get some helpful pumpkin-rearing tips in the comments this week as the engagement challenge. What do you do with wayward pumpkins, chat?
I'm growing them in a container, which that's probably my ignorance. I figured that would be risky, and now I'm paying for the consequences.
You live and you learn. And you know who else is living and learning after doing something that they shouldn't have been doing?
I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Well, we talked last week about Apple and the walled garden and the fact that once you are inside the garden, unlike the pumpkin, there is no escape for you. But there was a lot of backlash.
After outcry, Apple will let developers challenge the App Store guidelines. And the company says it will no longer hold up bug fixes over App Store disputes. So this is a follow-up to last week when we were talking about the email inbox management program called Hey, and Apple just straight up was like, no, if you're going to charge your customers money, we want to cut. And they were kind of playing hardball. Well, it got them a lot of bad press, and they doubled down, and then they sort of backed out and said, okay, you know what? We're going to make some changes here. We're going to let you challenge the App Store. You know, we let this get way out of hand way too quickly, which is really a translation for there's a lot of people looking into this now, and it's probably going to result in antitrust for us in some country somewhere, like Europe, because things are happening in Europe, and you better believe all this stuff that's happening is going to go in that Europe court case. But, yeah.
So before, you really couldn't, like, escalate. You couldn't get a human being to look at you. And they're just like, no, you've offended. You will be destroyed. And now you can definitely do that, or so they claim. And even if you're outside of their rules, you can still do security updates because, God, that's stupid not to allow that, isn't it?
And Hey is now on the platform.
And, more importantly, not paying Apple 1 cent.
Yeah, so they got the Netflix exemption.
Although, $100 a year for email?
If it's a good product, like if it made me have to deal with people that I don't want to deal with less often, it'd be worth it.
Yeah, I don't think there's software that can accomplish that. I think you need Murderous Pumpkin Man.
Chris is working on that.
Yeah. It's going to overtake my entire patio soon.
Did you just assume their gender?
Oh, yeah. Well, the murderous ones are only the males.
It's like murder.
Well, and that's actually the scary thing. We have a ton of male flowers, and I only have two female flowers.
Wow, Krista. And in 2020, when you know that diversity is important, plus, how dare you assume?
I don't assume. I looked it up because I didn't know how to tell which ones would make pumpkins.
Gender is not the same as sex, Krista. Jesus.
Well, if you want to know, it's the flowers with the bulb underneath. Those are the lady pumpkins.
That's disgusting.
That's going to turn into a pumpkin, pumpkin.
You know what my corporate headline that I've been waiting for is like, you know, the CEO or the chairman of the board or whatever has been dismissed from a position because of like some really atypical like home life, like, you know, almost like an Eyes Wide Shut type situation, which is not criminal. And in the climate that we're in now, that is going to get the company that does the dismissal in a super amount of trouble. Because it's like, you know.
Nah, it depends. Because if it's a white male and it has to do with heterosexuality, it'll be fine. But you change any of those variables, and
I know.
Oh boy.
I'm waiting for that, because it's just going to be like, you know, it's like, they regularly arranged and attended Eyes Wide Shut parties, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's
like,
gay.
Yeah. And it's like, the founder of Grindr or something, and it's like, oh, wait.
What if the founder of Grindr was cast out because they found out he was straight?
Yeah, I mean, just a headline like that. It's just
developing a dating app for gay people.
I just saw a portion of the population that was being underserved.
Yeah, it's 2020. You can't make those kind of judgments anymore.
Well, the other big thing that Apple did last week was announce that new processor that they're making in-house. And the amazing thing about it is that they are getting away from x86. And the question was, what about all those apps that we've come to love, many of which have only recently gotten into the Mac world? What are they going to do? And Apple says, hey, don't worry. We've got a perfect solution for that. Probably going to run at half speed, but it's perfect. Don't worry. Don't worry about that at all.
Rosetta 2 is Apple's key to making the ARM transition less painful. This is how a new ARM Mac will run all of your old macOS apps on day one. So, I don't know. Rosetta V1 was not great. It ranged from not great to dumpster fire. This is taking a slightly different approach in that it's doing the translation at install time, as much of the translation that it can. Of course, that doesn't work for documents like, or certain kinds of things like just-in-time compilers like a Java bytecode thing, but Java will be native, I'm sure, and other things like that. So
you're going to want a lot of memory, which is great because that's super cheap in the Apple ecosystem.
$600 per gigabyte.
Yeah, but they claim it will be way better, but no one knows. We'll see. But the good news is you can still use all of your old programs, and this is transparent to the end user, which is important. Because, you know, Mac users. They also announced a bevy of new features that will come in iOS. And these all seem really useful, but also really terrifying. Because they all have to do with more and more tracking.
Find My Tracking in iOS 14 will locate third-party devices. This could be a huge help if you use item trackers. So they're talking about Android phones, but also other devices, too, other than just Apple devices. Basically anything that's got a location tag.
What about an ankle monitor?
An Apple brand ankle monitor.
That'll be a thing someday, won't it?
Yeah.
This will be good for us when we slip into dementia.
Where's he at? Click. Oh, okay.
Not again.
And the second feature is similar, but this one is even more terrifying. And I think you do have to opt into this and turn it on, but it really puts the rest of the whole, like, the always listening argument, because how else would this work if not always listening?
New iOS 14 feature lets iPhone alert you if it hears sounds like a doorbell or a fire alarm. So the idea here is you're hearing impaired, the phone hears for you and pops up an alert or some other type of display or vibrates. So that if you're hearing impaired, you can be aware that, you know, there's a doorbell going off or a fire alarm going off.
I wonder if you have an unusual fire alarm, could you train it?
Yeah, I imagine Apple will train it on all the common ones.
I would like to get, like, do some machine learning stuff to learn Toast's bevy of meows so that I could set up some sort of countermeasure to automatically deal with him in the morning when he starts meowing.
That sounds like a level one video. Wouldn't you have to,
like, make a note that's like, this is why he stopped? Like, was he hungry? Or, like, if I gave him pets, he stopped meowing? Like,
No, I cannot reward. No, these will be some sort of thing that he does not like.
More than six meows in a row, release the valve on the anesthetine gas canister.
You're not looking to understand. You're looking to punish.
Yes. I don't want to get... So at 7:30 this morning, I was deep in a dream. And I was like so involved in my REM sleep that I remember the dream I came out of. It was some kind of crazy Star Wars adventure. And I was like shooting my way out of a space station or something. And I don't remember any of the context. Just that's that.
That sounds exciting.
And
though.
It's in a roar, you know? And I got to go in there and get the spray bottle, and I got to blast him in the face with it. And it just getting back to sleep after that's difficult. So I need to automate that. But they bang around and, like, you know, make a lot of thumping sounds and stuff. And I don't want to, you know, I'm fine if they're playing. So I need the machine learning to identify just those meows.
I feel like we can turn this into a level one project.
Maybe we can sell it to Apple.
See, I was thinking, like, you would develop a way, like, it would recognize the tone of the meow to tell, like, this is a meow that means I'm hungry. This is a meow that means I want love.
Actually, it doesn't matter what the tone of the meow is. The solution can always be greenies. That will always silence the meows for 30 to 45 minutes.
It takes him that long to eat them?
No, that's just his satisfaction levels, you know, like in the world where they have that little meter.
Yeah, this is slowly goes back down again.
Also in Apple news, Apple was one of the first to respond to the pandemic by just pulling the plug and shutting down all the retail stores. They went hardcore, which is unfortunate if you're an Apple user, because often that's the only place to get your stuff repaired without, you know, going AWOL and rogue and doing, you know, something they don't recommend that would probably void your warranty. So if you're one of those people who were like, oh, finally, I can go back. Well, hopefully you're not in one of these states.
Why is Apple Why is Apple closing some of its stores mere weeks after reopening? It's because there's a spike. There's a spike in the city. There it is. That's the entire article.
Worst clickbait headline in the world.
Yeah.
But it is only in certain places.
Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina. I think they also added Texas. This might be an older version of this story because things are getting real dicey in Texas.
I think New Mexico might be there as well now.
I think Houston, I think two or three of their hospitals have reached capacity. And they're like, well, it's okay because we can still send to like a couple other hospitals in the area. But it's like, well, how long before those ones are overwhelmed?
I think maybe everybody should stay home and wear a mask maybe in those areas. Maybe.
The mask thing is really getting out of control. I forgot mine the other day. I went to the Chinese place and I didn't have a mask. I felt bad.
I got an extra one in the van, but somebody took one of the ones that I had in the van. I don't know why.
I mean, I got it, but I left it in my pocket rather than putting it back in the car. And by the time I got there, I was like, oh no, I don't have a mask.
I've watched some of the videos on the internet about people freaking out about having to wear a mask. And it makes me weep for the future of humanity. Like,
I understand the gut reaction of don't tell me what to do, because boy, do I have that. I have that in spades. But if you just take a few moments and compare the what does this cost me versus what could this do for people, like, you know, old, weak people, I feel like that should solve it for you, right?
And if you're on the fence, if you're in the chat and you're on the fence and you just heard Ryan talk about that, know that Ryan hates people, and even he's thinking about their well-being over his own.
Well, no, see, I'm a big believer in the whole, like, you know, we all have to be courteous and, like, decent to each other. to keep this fragile thing together.
Keep this fragile ball of fragility spinning.
And it has to do with my level of effort, right? Like, I'm willing to hit that turn signal because it's so easy. The mask is so easy. So it's like, you know what? Hey,
yeah. Pants are so easy.
I will say thank you.
I already have some.
The person in the drive-thru, I'll say thank you. And I know a lot of people don't, but it's just so easy. You know,
yeah, just seconds.
Smooths things right along. I don't have to care about them. You know, I'm just looking to make things easier for everybody. It's social lubricant. Amazon has a little bit of a problem on their store,
yes,
you might have noticed, where things might be counterfeit.
A lot.
Or they might sell you batteries that are already used.
Yes.
Or something like that. And it's a big enough problem. Have you noticed every time I go and I research the reviews on Amazon, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're wasting your time. But yeah, you got to look, right? There'll always be, it's like, okay, I'll read a bunch of the reviews. It's like, now let me look at the one stars and see what those are about. And very often it's like, I got this and it was just in a paper bag. And it's clearly not the same brand, and it was used. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
that's one of the sellers who's a counterfeiter. How do I avoid that? Because you don't know who's going to fulfill your order.
I'll do that to you.
You can't. Amazon launches Counterfeit Crimes Unit to fight knockoffs on its store. Amazon wants to go on the offensive, and it's an endless battle with counterfeiters. So if my experience with DisplayPort cables, I know I've talked about this before, we got the level 1 KVM. The new ones are shipping. So if you pre-ordered, those are shipping by the time you're watching this. And we're in the second round of pre-orders. So I've ordered probably 200 DisplayPort cables from Amazon to test different ones. And it is crazy. It is scary. Like, a lot of the counterfeits are really good counterfeits. Like, you get a good quality cable, but, like, you test it, and the specifications are just way out in left field. So a lot of the time, I think people get counterfeits and don't even realize it. Even like the Amazon Basics cables, I got Amazon Basics from Amazon that were counterfeit cables. The specifications were wildly different than actual Amazon Basics DisplayPort cables. Insane.
Now, when it comes to being an Amazon counterfeit investigator, do you think that would be a fun job?
No, I think a lot of small businesses are going to suffer. I think people that like doing arbitrage, like, you know, buy some from Walmart and then sell on Amazon, I think those people are going to be shut down immediately, almost by design.
But their products wouldn't be counterfeit.
No, but the counterfeiters are going to be like, this is cheaper than we're getting them, and it's just because some local store decided to liquidate them more because they're near a distribution center or something. But Amazon will be like, this must be counterfeit because this is less than we got it for. And it's like, no, they just bought it from, you know, Walmart that shut down because of a fire or whatever.
Just, they're not counterfeit, they're just fire damaged.
We'll see.
If you've always wanted to be a detective, but, you know, that psych eval just not there, maybe try to do that.
I think it's a little bit less sophisticated than that because, like, we got, like, we ordered a micro SD card on Amazon, and it had clearly been returned, and it's like, this was in there, and so, like, whoever got for the return was like, oh, it's in there. It's like, no, there's supposed to be another thing here. This is just an adapter. The memory card's supposed to be here. Amazon, why did you do this? Why are you selling returned merchandise as new? You're not even supposed to do that.
Now, that makes a lot of sense, but this next decision that Amazon has made makes less sense to me. I don't know. It seems like
they've got a lot of money they need to dispose of.
I suppose that's true. But the world is clearly moving away from this. It almost seems like just, hey, you know all that choice that you love? We're going to take some of that back because we know that you're not comfortable with it.
Amazon is looking to add live TV to Prime Video. Amazon's looking to add 24/7 live programming to its Prime Video service, according to multiple jobs listings and stuff. This, to me, seemed like it was mostly just news, but the article says that it's going to be news and sports and entertainment.
Well,
they
said there were going to be channels that were just programmed.
Yeah.
I think some people, and I kind of get this, because you ever go on Netflix and you're just like, you look around for 30 minutes and then you go do something else?
Yeah.
Like, you just, you're overwhelmed and you don't want to make that decision. Sometimes you just want to, like, just tune out and be fed propaganda. I think a lot of people, and that's, you know, a solution for that. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's definitely out there.
This is the first step of Jeff Bezos creating the, what was it, Blipverts? Is that what it was in Scanners or something? It's like where Some very short advertisements that program your subconscious, but sometimes your head explodes.
I think the name of that is TikTok. Windows, it seems, is making more and more concessions to Linux, maybe out of fear. I don't know. They seem to be recognizing that their grip on the OS world, their monopoly, is slipping away. And more, it seems like instead of losing people to the enemy, they will just simply invite the enemy into their camp.
Windows 10 Linux subsystem. You get GPU acceleration with Intel, AMD, and NVIDIA drivers. Windows 10 subsystem for Linux, WSL, gains GPU access for machine learning. So, yes, there are kernel drivers in Windows now that will allow it to interface with your GPU. This is awesome. I've been running Windows VMs on Linux for a very, very long time. You know, bare metal hardware pass-through kind of thing. And I'm surprised that this happened this way first. I thought sure it would happen the other way around, where Windows on Linux would get GPU acceleration for single GPU. But nope, not the case.
It's just Ubuntu right now.
Yeah.
But I imagine the other ones will catch up rather quickly.
Yeah. You can also do machine learning and crap like that with it, which is a large part of why it's there.
Yeah, that's primarily what it's for.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not focusing on gaming at all. I think what happened was Microsoft recognized that machine learning is absolutely the future.
Yeah.
And AI.
And a lot of scientists are running Linux.
And they're like, hey, let's hook you up with Windows. And they're like, well, I kind of have all this stuff already done in Linux. And I'm like, oh, God. That's not, we don't own that. Google, did you take this as to be where people will, like, for example, they'll post an image of Donald Trump and just put, like, idiot?
No, I took this as the hack for Twitter. It's like where you want to post something longer than, you know, 280 characters. And so you post the image, but it's filled with text.
Oh, you think that's what this is?
Yeah. Hmm. Google to start fact-checking Google images. So I guess if you post a message and the message contains text, you know, the algorithm doesn't necessarily read that. But now maybe it does. It's like, we'll convert that image back to text and see if it contains text. And then maybe we want to fact-check that because, you know, if you're having a conversation with text in an image, maybe the machine can't hear you.
Well, this doesn't seem like it's either of those things. This makes it seem like it's like Photoshop.
The danger of text-based misinformation can be dwarfed by misleading, manipulated, or outright fake photos, videos. Oh, so I guess this is like deep fakes and things like that.
But how would, I mean, if there's no context, how would they know that this, you didn't post it as like, hey, here's a deepfake?
How will they tell the difference between a deepfake and somebody with Instagram filters turned on?
Here's the other question I have, as someone who used to really enjoy making like fake Photoshop images and like touching stuff up. How will it be able to detect that? And is it now a challenge to see, like, can I submit an image that Google won't detect as being edited?
But should the thoughts be exempt from this? Is that not a fake image?
It says it doesn't affect the actual rankings. It's just going to put like a little thing under that. It's like, this is...
Yeah, it's like Facebook and Twitter approach to... I don't know. It's a weird story. It's interesting because I did read it. Although this website...
Oh, no.
It does this.
It's hung.
It does this sometimes.
Did it freeze?
Oh, no.
We're going to get the pop-up. It's going to be fine.
Burp.
Okay.
Burp.
It usually doesn't take this long.
Oh, come on. We've done like six stories.
No, I think the video's okay.
Oh, okay.
We're still recording. Oh, there we go. Yeah,
it's fine. We're back.
Axios. Their articles are just like, that's all there is. They really get to the point, which sometimes I appreciate, but in a case like this, a little more explanation.
Can we ask the details?
Yeah.
Citation needed. The next story just gets an angry mention.
Yeah, Microsoft, and I guess, did we put it in this? No. Did I leave it out?
What was it?
About the, oh no, it's in the security section. Never mind. Microsoft updates. They are dangerous at the best of times and downright malicious at the worst of times. And people hate them, especially in enterprise situations where you really don't want all of your computers not working the next morning before you get there. So they have a cool feature. I should say they had a cool feature.
Microsoft removes manual deferrals from Windows Update by IT pros, quote-unquote, to prevent confusion. Microsoft said what was happening was IT pros were just deferring these updates forever, so they're just going to ignore it now. The problem is that IT pros have experienced the terrorism, which is a great way to describe what it is, of the Windows updates, where your computer just randomly stops working or your documents are deleted. And you know why? Because Microsoft fired their testing team.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Actually, this laptop I'm on today, a little bit ago it popped up and was like, you need to restart soon. And I was like, oh no.
See, that
so
really,
if I disappear abruptly,
like,
that's why.
This is the most insidious lie. When you do that and it's like, hey, I need to update and install some updates, and when I reboot, I'm going to install some updates. It already started installing updates because your computer's going to be weird and flaky and something's not going to work right until you reboot, because it already installed half the update and the other half is not there because something else is already running. And so that your operating system at that point is in an undefined state, and that drives me insane.
That's Firefox. Like, I will put it off until it stops generating new tabs. And it always will. It'll get to that point. And I'm like, what's going on? All right. Yeah. It's like 99% updated. Yeah. At this point, it's just locked itself out.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to reacting to the pandemic, Microsoft has been one of the more severe reactionary entities. They have definitely, and to the riots as well. You know, they've gotten out in front and they're like, yep. They canceled everything till like 2020, till the end of 2020. And then they're like, okay, we're not doing trade shows and blah, blah, blah. And now the final stroke.
Microsoft is permanently closing all physical retail stores. But they actually did something cool for the people that work in these stores. If you're willing to transition, Microsoft will find a place for you somewhere within the organization.
It'll be janitorial, but, you know, you still get to say you work at Microsoft.
That's something, right? Though, like in this economy,
is there a mailing list that you can get on for, like, when they dismantle the store and take it down? Because I would like to buy some of their old fixtures. I'd love to have some of the furniture, maybe the screen displays and some other stuff. Is there a mailing list for that? Has anybody got any connections?
I'll probably just go through a liquidation company, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't, it's like just. Oh. I'd love to have some of their old desks and stuff, though.
This headline terrifies me. Because at some point, I'm going to have to take one of these sites and turn it into a real website. Oh, God, I hate these projects. Oh, man, do I hate these projects.
AWS launches Amazon Honeycode, a no-code app building service. Customers can use this service to leverage AWS-built database, such as a simple task tracking application or a more complex project management app. Let me tell you. The industry is so hot for these no code applications, because you got these people that are UX designers that think they can design user interfaces, but they actually don't know anything about user interfaces or designing things or programming or really much of anything. But they can drag and drop some things together with this kind of an application, and it has its place. Like, it can work if you're willing to work within the confines of the system. The problem is, like Ryan said, that eventually you outgrow that and it doesn't work, and then the no-code solution becomes a nightmare to try to support. And there's a lot of, like, common design patterns for things that people want to do online. People want to make reservations to visit you online. They want to be able to contact you for online. They want to fill out answer some questions and then be directed to a place where they could download a file or buy something or order something like that. Those are things that right now require programming, but these, you know, things like Amazon Honeycode and other low-code, no-code approaches want to be able to turn that into like a drag-and-drop workflow. Microsoft's even doing it with things like SharePoint and Teams and crap like that, where you build a workflow, and then the workflow does document collection and stuff like that. And again, there's a place for that. But mostly, those people don't understand and misuse those tools, and it ends up being badly implemented. And then it turns into a disaster for everybody.
Well, it becomes a nightmare for the people like us who actually do know what we're doing. And they're like, the client who comes to you with this thing that they've built themselves, they're like, we want to keep a lot of this. And it's like, no, no. What you've done cannot be kept. It must be destroyed.
This is
and
wrong.
Now we have to build it from the ground up, which you would have saved more money if you just come to us directly at the start.
They need a reservation system, but every third Wednesday, They close at 6 instead of 8.
And when the moon is full and we've done the goat sacrifice, right, we also need this to happen.
If Trump tweeted more than 5 times that day, we won't be serving lobster. So if you could just build that into Salesforce, that'd be great. Cryptocurrency.
Not even the weird things we've heard.
Yeah. Let's take this 4-step process and turn it into 12 steps. Customers want that, right?
I like to force a registration on step 6.
By the time you get that far, it's just like, what? You want me to register? Blah!
Yeah, you just throw your desk.
Cryptocurrency. That certainly seems like maybe one of the escape hatches for the hyperinflationary Holocaust that is coming. And maybe more and more people are becoming interested in it because they are, you know, getting a little worried about this whole economic situation. And we have several stories about more access to cryptocurrency.
PayPal, Venmo, etc. are rolling out crypto buying and selling, according to sources. It's not available yet, but, you know, pretty soon you're going to be able to buy crypto at you know, every corner drugstore. Oh, wait.
Way to get ahead of yourself. But yeah, let's say that, you know, PayPal and Venmo, you don't want those, right? Because your income is an illegal stream. You'd like to pay cash for your delicious cryptocurrency.
Well, you now can buy Bitcoin at CVS, 7-Eleven, and Rite Aid, only with cash, because that makes sense. Because
no,
people
will
buy
this
on your
credit.
Well, credit card companies, it makes them nervous because the credit card company, you can do a chargeback, but they're not getting their crypto back once you.
Now, a lot like the vending machines, this is not exactly what you would imagine. Like, you know, putting your $100 bill in the little slot and, you know, it's spitting out like a USB drive or something. It's an app. You have to register for the app. You have to give it your phone number and your address. You have to get confirmed. Then you make the order on the app. And then you take the app to the 7-Eleven and they scan it. And then you pay them. And then it goes to the address through the app. So it's really not that much different than CoinDesk.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, again, if you want to pay cash. Interesting. It's definitely not an impulse buy, you know?
No.
It's like, you have
to
go get a loaf of bread.
I'm just going to pick up some Bitcoin while I get my milk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. But, hey, if it brings more people to cryptocurrency, that's probably a good thing, right? Now, Disney Plus. Disney Plus was definitely one of the big winners from the lockdown. Because if you're trapped at home and you're bored, that's one thing. If your kids are trapped at home and they're bored, that's a whole other misery. And one of the ways to deal with that is to just put on Disney movies. And what if you could put on a nearly infinite loop of them? Wouldn't that be great? But when it came out, they were like, hey, listen, we're dedicated to our existing Disney products. Don't worry. Those aren't going anywhere.
Disney Kids channels to Shudder in the UK. All that content is moving to Disney Plus. So the Disney Kids channels, if you're in the UK, those are, you don't get those anymore. Sorry. Unless you subscribe to Disney Plus.
And then you get everything.
Yeah.
So that's price.
How much is Disney Plus now?
Too much.
It was super cheap when it came out, wasn't it? Wasn't it like $6?
I can Google it real quick, but
they're gonna like really hike the price on that because it's becoming more and more popular.
Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely.
It was definitely,
like, Beyonce just announced she's doing a new visual movie whatever on there.
$7 a month or $70 a year.
A visual movie as opposed to a
or a visual album, I guess, like Lemonade was.
Could be one of those abstract art pieces where it's just a naked lady dancing on a stage.
How is, like, that not visual?
Abstract.
So yeah.
Abstract.
If you have a kids channel that you like to pop on and just keep them busy, well, you know, you got to get Disney Plus. So, which sucks because they're in the UK, because then if you still have to pay your license, right? Or they come to your house and shoot you. So you can't just cut the cord. If you cut the cord in the UK, you're a criminal. The smart glasses, they just can't catch on. And company after company that went down that road is finding it coming to a gravelly end.
Alphabet is reportedly buying North after a minuscule Focal's smart glasses sales. So Alphabet is the, you know, Google. These do not do well.
I guess it is, like, all the guts are in here.
Yeah.
That's It's better, but it still looks kind of dumb.
It looks less awful than Google Glass.
But they are like the problem glasses style, you know, rather than metal. I don't know.
Smart glasses in an age when everybody got laser eye surgery.
But they were doing so poorly. I think this is one of those situations where they just went to Google and they were like, oh, 180 million. They were like, hey, Google, 180 million. Why? And Google was like, just look around in the couch cushions.
And, we'll just buy it. Why not?
So, yeah. The other thing that really has picked up popularity during the lockdown has been online trading. And it seems to be more and more young people are getting into online trading. And perhaps in ways that they don't quite understand.
Young trader dies by suicide after thinking he racked up big losses on Robinhood. We reported on this last week, I think.
Did we?
Yeah. And
zero memory of that.
And we had...
It was June 18th.
Yeah, there were some... There's a few more details in here. And basically, it's just he used the infinite free money thing in Robinhood. And
No, I don't think he did. No one's sure exactly how this happened, but he was using covered options. And the way that Robinhood's UI and their like settlement process is ridiculous. It's so broken. So it could actually be, because what happens is your balance doesn't reflect the exercising of the options. They won't let you go uncovered on Robinhood anymore. Like if you try to buy naked, they're just like, no, 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 no. That's infinite risk. We don't do that anymore. We've learned our lesson. So it could be true that the settlement hadn't happened, and so it didn't reflect that. So his balance was erroneous. Like it would have settled out if he just waited through the weekend.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's true. No one's got the details yet, but he might have killed himself a little prematurely.
They are making changes to the platform as a result of this as well.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do because, I mean, that...
Fixing the broken UI seems like a good start.
Well, that could help.
They're like, oh, wait. It's still not as bad as the tech bros that shipped a facial recognition software where it's like, hey, this guy is probably your guy. It wasn't the guy.
But it affects more people. Now, Facebook, they have always... When I say they, I mean Mark Zuckerberg, right? Because he's the guy. He makes the decisions. And he has been a staunch, adamantly defending his position that political ads should suffer no censorship on his platform. If you want to buy a political ad on Facebook, you want to lie in it, hey... There's a long tradition of lying in political ads, right? Who is he to stand in the way of that? But the current events have kind of turned public opinion pretty hard in the other direction. And oh boy, is he feeling it.
North Face and REI joined Facebook ad boycott organized by civil rights groups. So the outdoor goods retailer North Face and REI signed up for the Stop the Hate for Profit campaign. This is also in addition to Unilever, you know? Unilever?
Well, this says join. So this is actually a story that's just like wrapping up. There's so many more than these. Yeah. I don't know if they mention them.
Yeah, this is like Adpocalypse 3.0.
But yeah, a lot of people have come out against Facebook.
Do you think there's like ad agencies that are like, you know, website development has really slowed down. Print is dying, but at least we still have social media ads. And then they see these headlines and they're like, ah! There's some panic. Like,
yeah, Unilever stopping all of its advertising for the rest of the year is huge. They are a huge advertiser.
Yeah.
So I think this is also not just Facebook, also Twitter and some other, depending on which company it is and what they do and some other things. A lot of ad dollars have been pulled for the next 3 months through 2021.
A lot of them have said no social media.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. And it seems like it was finally enough. I don't know if North Face was the straw that broke the camel's back, but maybe. And something finally made him at least give in a little bit.
As advertisers revolt, Facebook commits to flagging quote-unquote newsworthy political speech that violates policy. So there's a couple ads that were cited. I'm not sure if it was in this article, but there's a couple ads that already immediately have the flagging tag, and they were pretty inflammatory.
So he's going to do kind of like Twitter. He won't block them, but he might flag them to say that, hey, you know, yeah, this is a political ad, we don't censor, but this could be a lie.
Yeah.
Maybe look into it. The other problem that Facebook has, or at least perceives that they have, is that people will often, and this goes back to the whole, like, remember the Twitter feature last week where it was like, you didn't read that. You know you didn't read that. People see a headline and it fits their narrative that they want to promote, and they just immediately post it. And sometimes they don't look and see when that thing happened.
Facebook will show users a pop-up warning before the story that they share is outdated. We should find some stories about the fall of the wall in East Germany and post links to them, and see if it's flagged, because it's like, oh, we don't have the warm fuzzies for Russia anymore.
You're gonna find some online articles.
Yeah, probably
from the fall.
Yeah.
Of the Soviet Union, yeah, that were dated at that time?
There are newspapers from 1873
On the internet. Online articles.
From the 1873.
What website did they post to on 1873?
Those are in a library website, actually. They've digitized old papers.
Well, that's not exactly a journalism website, is it? This one, I don't know about popular.info, and this was a very, very one-sided argument in this story, so I don't really, I'll leave it in there. Did you get anything out of this?
No.
The pop-up when you come onto the site, like, the subscribe pop-up is like, for people who give a damn, and I was like, oh, okay. So anyone else who gets like news from any other source, they don't give a damn.
We include this only because, you know, Facebook mentioned they're changing the policies and they're going to flag things, blah, blah, blah. But apparently there is an exemption for climate denial.
I don't understand why.
Because there is, we have this whole thing where it's like the science is settled. And I don't disagree with climate change. I just happen to not care. Really, let's think about this. If, as humanity, we accepted the phrase, the science is settled, we would still be bloodletting. Science must always, always be open to, you know, criticism, to be checked again and again and again. That's how we get better at it.
Yeah.
So, what they're saying here is, like, if there's overwhelming evidence against some article, then you could still post it, but it would have to be labeled as opinion, which is true.
Yeah.
Could be someone's opinion. For example, it's my opinion that popular.info is a trash website. You might be thinking, well, yeah, I really don't. Yeah. You know what? I think I think the solution to climate change is massive depopulation. And guess what? It's going to happen.
It's currently happening.
Yeah. It's going to solve that problem right away.
Oh, no.
So, you might be thinking, why is this in the social media section? This has nothing to do with social media. It's because Facebook is responsible for this amazing thing.
Pifu HD. I think that's how that's said. I don't know.
That sounds good enough to me.
Multi-level pixel-aligned implicit function for high-resolution 3D human digitization. If you're listening to this, you should just pause now and go watch the video. They've got a 1-minute introduction and a 5-minute introduction. But basically, they can take high-resolution pictures and turn them into 3D models.
Pretty reliably, too.
Yeah, so these all look really good. Now, imagine if you're like a video game modeler and it's like, oh, man. Like...
Yeah, so...
I thought my job was safe.
In various stages of dress or undress, wearing different clothes, they are all extremely attractive. Apparently, it only works for extremely attractive people.
I wonder... But, I mean, I guess this probably isn't part of it yet, but like, I wonder how it would handle movement. Like, I wonder if it could simulate that. Probably not.
No, it has in the video demonstration. There's like a toddler dancing.
I don't have any gifs of that.
It is amazing,
but I wonder how good is it at like simulating material, like cloth.
It did spaz 22, a little bit. There's a video. Yeah, it's not great. There's like a woman swinging her dress around.
That's just a little bit more neural network training. That's all that is.
Well, listen, what if I'm wearing the latex outfit that day?
the green suit from It's Always Sunny. It's like that thing. It's like no one can see me, and it's like that's not how that works.
Twitter is still having its little spat with President Trump. I guess that's always going to be true until one of them dies, right? And their new thing is now flagging his tweets. And I think whoever is in charge of flagging Trump's tweets is kind of like a rabid dog who's been let off the leash because they just keep doing it over and over. And they know what they're doing. Yeah. They know the anger that they're driving into him right now.
Twitter flags Trump tweet on protesters, including the threat of harm. So, I don't know. What even happened here?
He said that if people try to do a Chaz-type situation in D.C., then, you know, the authorities will deal with them.
We're going to have our own Tiananmen Square incident.
He didn't say how they were going to deal with them, although I guess you could presume violence. That would probably follow.
Flag.
So, yeah, they've said...
Boop.
Didn't another city set one up recently? I don't know if it was D.C. It might have been D.C.
They tried, like, they put up some signs in D.C., but they don't have... You know, they have the police station as sort of an anchor in Seattle. They don't have anything like that anywhere else. So how do you get started, you know? It's like a really big burger. You got to take that first bite. It's difficult. Need a police station.
And the juice is going to go everywhere, and it's just...
Yeah. The like all the pickles and stuff are going to slide out the backside because you didn't hold on to the back of it correctly.
They were escaping the autonomous zone for their safety.
And then a couple people get shot. Microsoft. It's funny because each of the big tech giants seem to kind of want to step up and take a swing at good old Twitch. Google did it and... Didn't go well.
Twitch somehow feels like a startup company. They're definitely not.
There's something about it. You can't reproduce it. Amazon, of course, rather than fight them, just said, hey, we've got all the money in the world, right? But another one has stepped up, and another one has fallen.
Microsoft is shutting down Mixer and partnering with Facebook Gaming. Oh, man, if you move to Mixer, my heart goes out to you because what a terrible situation.
Well, they did point out.
Can you go back to Twitch now? That's the biggest question I've had.
Yes. If you had an exclusivity contract with Mixer, you will now be released to go back to Twitch. Or you can transfer over to Facebook Gaming if you want to.
A couple people posted their contracts or their proposed contracts for Facebook Gaming. And let me just say that if you're in that position, go see a contract lawyer. It'll be worth the $1,000 or $2,000 that it takes to get somebody to review that because the contract I read was garbage.
But I wonder, like, what's the name of the guy's name with the rainbow hair? The real popular Fortnite guy.
Ninja?
Yes. He had a multi-year contract with him.
Yeah.
Are they going to pay that out?
I think that they paid, like, whatever he has been paid is his to keep forever.
But nothing going forward.
Right.
That kind of sucks for him. What if he bought a big, really big mansion?
Well, we don't know. They might have paid it up front in a lump sum because he's like, I don't know, you know, if you guys are doing whatever.
That's got to be sweet. If you're like, you get all that money, and then you're right back to Twitch.
Yeah, it'd just be like, you know what? I'm retired.
No, I don't. They don't retire for whatever reason. I think they love the attention.
Well, with $10 million, it would be like.
Oh, I bet he's worth way more than $10 million at this point, right?
Well, I guess that's true. I mean, I would. There's certain things that I would stop doing, but if that happened, I would still be doing like Linux stuff and building things and fixing drivers.
Maybe. Well, you know how we always talk about that terrifying social credit score over in China? And every once in a while, some scary story will come through about the U.S. and we're like, oh my God, we're moving toward that. We're going to have a social credit score.
I don't like it.
And so one credit card company saw that and they were like, yes, we want that.
A new card ties your credit to your social media stats. Founded by Instagram and finance alums, Carrot wants to be the black card in every influencer's wallet. So, this article talks about an influencer that was having trouble with a credit account that was only $40,000 a month or something like that, because conventional credit cards and bankers didn't understand this whole influencer business model, so they didn't really want to float them any credit.
It was the Russian Badger. I don't know the Russian Badger.
I don't know who that is.
We're not hip enough to know that, but he is a very, very popular YouTube gamer, and so he makes a lot of money. He got 2.7 million subscribers, you can imagine. Pulling down, probably getting some, what do you call it when they pay you to use their products? That's just
product placement.
No, that's not it exactly.
Affiliate.
Linode.com. Neither, link below.
Neither of those is accurate, but the chat will figure it out. Anyway, he's probably making a lot of money, but when he goes to the bank and he's like, "Hey, I make a lot of money," they're like, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" He's like, "Oh, I game on YouTube." A like giant red light starts flashing.
They hit the button under the desk. Like,
the security.
Security.
So these guys are saying, "Hey, we understand that you're probably, you know, you have arrested development. You're probably not even a real adult. But we also understand that you have a lot of money, and we'd like to be a part of that." So instead of your credit score, they're going to base it on your social media numbers. They also pointed out that...
doesn't that make botting even worse? Like,
they pointed out that YouTube subscribers, way more valuable than TikTok followers. Way more.
That's right, chat. You guys are more valuable than TikTok
Feel
followers.
Good about yourselves.
In the security section, we're going to cover the Apple discovered that the TikTok thing was spying on people.
What a shock. Don't tell me. It can't be true.
Not like this.
All right, Krista, give me a YouTube goodbye versus a TikTok goodbye.
Like, favorite, and subscribe. Thanks for watching. Bye.
You can't even favorite anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what do you do on TikTok? Do you just share it? Like, I don't have TikTok.
I don't know. Probably something to do with
nudity. You just end it, and then it's like your icon, right? Like, your follow me on. Like, it just automatically displays.
That's annoying. Right.
That's acceptable, but I feel like that was a poor effort.
It's a poor effort. Not a great bye, but bye!